So now you are going to hear a bit about convention from those of us who were there or who participated in the delegate session. As I said earlier, we were there July 6th through the 10th. There was about between 480 and 500 participants who were physically present. That doesn't count the vendors or the staff or the musicians or the speakers or anything like that. So it was a relatively small convention. The previous convention in Kansas City was 2,700. But it was a fantastic week there, and you'll hear more about that, starting with a video from Trent and Ethan, who could not be here because they went from Cincinnati to North Carolina for a family vacation, and they are coming back this evening. So we had to nab their thoughts before we left convention. So you'll see that, and then the rest will come up during that, and we'll speak after that.
So at convention, I think my fun memory would be there's this flying pig, and it was really cool how it worked. It all had all these ropes attached to it, and you can make it like look like it's flying. So that would definitely be my favorite part, especially when Colin tamed the pig. And then me and Trent were trying to do the wings in sync, but we did kind of terribly. But that was my favorite part for sure. Just that whole day was a lot of fun. Getting to go out to the park and try and skip rocks on the river and stuff like that. That was my favorite fun memory, but I think my favorite memory from a convention would be a seminar that we went to for MJ Sharp. I had never heard his story before, but what was interesting about his story and what made me really captivated by it was just MJ himself, because the seminar we went to wasn't just focused on what he did, it was how him as a person. And they talked a lot about his pranks, they talked a lot about all this other stuff that he did, and knowing him as a whole person, he was definitely someone that I would look up to, someone that I wanted to be, and then stuff like that. And all throughout convention of like, so we know this thing now, and what are we gonna do? There was a lot of, you know, I got a lot of new information that was about, you know, mass incarceration, about masculinity, but it was a lot about how do I apply that even in my faith? So I think my favorite memory from convention was the MJ Sharp story, because it made me think about my career and what do I want to do in my career that can also help other people who need it. It was very interesting, and I very much enjoyed it. And it's definitely made me think a lot about that doing aspect.
So at convention, it was a lot of fun this year. The food was amazing, and probably one of my favorite memories at convention this year was one of the seminars I went to. It was about toxic masculinity and how men have these stereotypes about them that they just don't know it's really toxic. And for me, I had taken AP Lang at my school, and we've talked about toxic masculinity all throughout like a month in like at school, and it was really helpful because all people are unaware that all men are afraid to share their emotions, or they feel like if they do they're seen as weak or devalued almost, and can be kicked out of a friend group just because they're trying to express some emotion that allows them to be vulnerable, but people just don't allow that. in today's society a lot of times. And I think it's important that we have discussions like these, like the seminar we had, where we were talking about how we can't have all these, we need to allow basically men to have these emotions, to be vulnerable, and to just be, to have new stereotypes of just being good human beings and not really seen as people who are solely like dominant or strong. And if you're weak, then that's a bad thing, but that shouldn't be the case. And I think that seminar was just really important for everyone who went to just recognize that. And then at convention, one of the things we did as a youth group, we went down to a park, to the river here in Cincinnati, and we walked across the bridge and went to this park with all these different kinds of equipment. Like, there's a bouncing sort of like prism, and we all tried to balance on it at the same time. And then there's also these like swings. It was like kind of like an elliptical, except your knees would stay straight, and those were really fun to play with. And we all had fun at the park, and that was probably one of my favorite memories in Cincinnati, but not exactly at a convention.
So we do have videos of all those play equipments. They're really cool. It'll make a lot more sense when you see the video, like what happened. But convention was definitely different. Like Colin said, a lot less people were there. So it's, you're not in a sea of people. So you really got to either meet people, or you could choose to like kind of shield yourself, I guess, a little more. So it was interesting to see other youth groups and how they intermingled or decided to huddle and clumped together. But my favorite part was probably our worship was there's a lot less people, so it's a lot smaller and the band is really loud, but we still can overpower them a little bit with some good hymn singing, so that was always a good time. And one of my favorite parts was also walking down to the river, and we so it's a couple blocks away from our hotel and the convention center, and we walked down there, and they got this whole park set up, and there's kids playing in the water and all this stuff. And then after that, we went to the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center, and the really cool part about it is the building, the windows all overlook the river that slaves would cross to get to freedom. And the craziest part about it is like thinking how you were to the finish line, but then it was very clear that there was still a long way to go to get to freedom. And even then, that's freedom then, which was better, but still not, of course, great. So it just was cool to see that from the museum part. And and I'd like to thank Colin and Michelle for taking us and helping us get through the airports and all the craziness and get us food. And so, yeah.
So if you can't tell, I was the only girl there. So me and Michelle got to be in together. So I'm the only youth girl. And so that made me want to reach out to more groups a little bit more, just to meet new other girls that I could talk to. So I would say that was my overall favorite part, is just meeting a bunch of people. I had one seminar where there were four of us girls at a table who had never met each other before, and afterward we had talked and now have each other's phone numbers and still talk. So just meeting all of those people was really nice. And then my seminar, or my convention-specific highlight, was the MJ Sharp story, like they had talked about, was one that I went to as well. And a lot of the seminars that week had been about making peace with violence and that sort of thing, since it was Bring the Peace. And so I think what was nice about that seminar for me is that it showed how someone did that in their life and converted it to what they actually do as a job, versus just telling you how you should do it. It was something that you could look at and see how they carried it out in their life. So that was something that I really liked.
So one of the things I enjoyed there was that afternoon where we got to go to the park, and we got to go down to the the river, and to a bridge there, and walk on that, and I thought that was pretty fun. And at convention, I thought the sermons and the leaders there were I enjoyed that. I thought it was pretty fun. So.
As you can see, I'm not a youth, but I like going on these trips because I get to feel youthful, or maybe by the end then I feel my age. I'm not sure which is better, but I guess my favorite part of conventions are always the other times, not the convention, but the times we get to spend with each other. I would say probably the two of those experiences are playing a game called Exploding Kittens in the hotel room. And, you know, there was another youth from another youth group that just came and joined in and played the game with us. And so we sat there, and then we played it again at the end of the trip. And then also probably walking to get ice cream twice, not once, but twice. It was probably just the fun times, just being together and hanging out is my favorite part of convention. I would say over the seminars and the speakers that spoke, it was about, we always hear, you know, we're supposed to live like Jesus and follow his path. But they really focused on Jesus being the center of your life and everything being centered around Jesus. And one of the speakers, I forget her name, gave the illustration of, you know, in a hurricane, there's craziness going on all around, but in the center is calm, and that's Jesus. There's crazy, disastrous things that go on all around us, but if we focus our life on Jesus, that peace and that calm in that center is what will keep us calm and peaceful.
It's been wonderful to hear these different recollections of the life of the conference and the ability to connect with people. I had a different kind of participation. It was right here from Colorado Springs. I was one of the delegates that represents our congregation at the Delegate Assembly. So that's the business meeting of our denomination of Menicon 21, and I joined Amy Zimbelman in that responsibility. You know, each of our congregations within the Mennonite Church are unique, but we are part of a denomination, and it does denomination business. It's a joy because that is a way by which we have a wider impact in the world and can do more. Our vision statement actually says that we will support and participate in a variety of Mennonite and Anabaptist programs that are active around the world. And sending delegates, even virtually, is one of the ways that we do that. You know, it was, you've heard a little bit about this being a smaller conference. It actually was the smallest that the Mennonite Church USA has had. And it's the first time that they had what they call a hybrid convention. It drew altogether about 1,000 people, a little bit over 1,000, including the speakers, the seminar presenters, and all those kinds of people. That was 608 that were present at the convention center. And at least another 495 people connected online, either for the entire convention or for just a portion of it. It was in July 6 to 10, and one of the main programming focuses was to look at how to strengthen the denomination's peace witness. You know, what's interesting is that fully 45% of the people present there at the convention were youth or youth sponsors. So they're taking a larger and larger percentage of the folks that were gathered together. And just wonderful to hear the connections that happened. Well, church revitalization was another one of the goals of MenoCon 21, focusing its attention on fulfilling its calling as an inclusive body amid a trend of membership decline. Just as a personal aside, that was really quite a complex challenge because the denomination's actions so far to be more inclusive is also recognized as one of the reasons or causes for the membership decline. Membership decline, yeah, from 133,000 people in 1998, now it's only 62,000. So it's been cut in half since 1998. But then the exciting part for those of you who have attended business meetings throughout your life is, this is honey for some and sawdust for others, okay? I recognize that. Don't throw anything at me, please. But it was only 2 hours for the entire convention, and there were a little more than 300 delegates who were attending. All of them, even if they were physically present, they had to have some kind of device so that they could get onto Zoom, and so everyone was connecting to the assembly via Zoom. And of course, that happened from all over the country. We approved bylaw changes. That was exciting stuff. Affirmed a slate of candidates or nominees for churchwide boards. And we heard reports from different ethnic and racial constituency groups. And it was an amazing variety of groups that spoke. There were, of course, Mennonite women, the African American Mennonite Association, the Native Mennonite Ministries, Mennonite Men, Iglesia Menonita España, African Belizean Caribbean Mennonite Missions Association, and the Indonesian Mennonite Association. That was a wonderful and a diverse collection of constituencies that really, it was really enjoyable to hear their reports. And I was especially touched by the report from the Native Mennonite Ministries and their description of what they're doing, especially in Oklahoma and in Wyoming. One of the things they're trying to do is to raise funds to provide scholarships for Native Americans who are wanting to go on to junior college or college but can't afford that. So they're trying to raise funds to do that. You know, we do that within our own congregation. We have a budget item to do that within our own. But it just sort of touched my heart. Man, here are other kids that really need some help to go on to a higher education within the Native American community. Another thing they're doing is a lot of work supporting the addiction and alcohol recovery program. So a real ministry that's going on there. And I'm sure that would be, there are some fantastic ministries from each of these different groups. So the Delegate Assembly, we approved the recommendation from a subcommittee on what resolutions will be or won't be voted on at a special delegate session that'll happen next May, the end of next May in Kansas City. And this gets into the details here. Two of the resolutions were about a 20-year-old document that prohibits our pastors from performing same-sex marriage ceremonies. Our area conferences don't consistently enforce that rule, and the executive board does not have the authority to do it from a national level. So that first recommendation was from the executive board, and it recommended retiring those guidelines, and that will be something that delegates will vote on next May. The second resolution it calls for repentance and transformation, and was written by a group that calls itself Inclusive Pastors, a group practicing full inclusion of LGBTQ people in their congregations. That was announced as currently at an impasse, which means it will not be voted on next year by the delegates. There was a resolution to increase accessibility for people with disabilities, and that will be recommended to the delegates for a vote. And also, there was a resolution looking at the justice system and what should the Mennonite Church's position be towards judicial reform within the U.S. criminal legal system, and that was recommended just for further study. So our church, it's facing some hard and complex issues in the face of membership decline. There is a great opportunity, though, for our denomination to have a real testimony, a real witness, and to be a blessing to the church and to the world at large. And so this work is important, and it's very clear that the leadership of our denomination is committed to working hard for all the issues that we face. So I thank you for the opportunity to represent Bethel at MennoCon 21, and thank you for putting up with this somewhat detailed report.
Good morning. I am glad to be able to add my glowing review of MennoCon to the mix, and I am especially glad that Dave did all the business, so I don't have to. So that's nice. So what did MennoCon mean to me this year? It meant connecting with community, new and old. I mean, where on earth can you run into the editor of Anabaptist World, an old friend who's become a pastor since you saw her a decade ago, other conference ministers from around the country, a seminary professor who you want to bring out for next year's Faith and Life Forum, the executive director of MCUSA, and the good people of your own home church, like Colin, Mike, Michelle, Dave, and the youth group, right? All in a single day. MennoCon. That's where all of that can happen. So it was a blast for me to be able to go this year, both personally and professionally. The highlight definitely was all the conversations with all sorts of people that I mentioned. I am, of course, an extrovert after all, so I love that. I also really loved the gathered worship. After a lot of isolation, especially from huge groups this last year, it was surprisingly deeply moving for me to be in a huge auditorium with a lot of folks talking about Jesus being the center and just belting it out at the top of our lungs. It actually reminded me a lot of my evangelical upbringing, where we had many large concerts, except MennoCon had four-part harmony and peace theology. So it was good. It's really good. And the seminars at MennoCon were also great. My favorite was called Reclaiming the Bible with Survivors of Sexualized Violence, which sounds heavy, and it definitely was, but it was also quite helpful. And I couldn't stay until Friday, but if I had, I'm sure that my favorite seminar would have been Raw Tools. I have no doubt that they represented us well. And in fact, when I filled out the feedback form at the end, I said that in 2 years, Kansas City 2023, mark your calendars, I would love to see more Mountain States Mennonite Conference representation. And then I just proceeded on the feedback form to list a bunch of people who I think would be great seminar leaders throughout our conference. So keep that in mind, all of you. If you're an expert or just interested in a topic, you have 2 years to prepare something. And all of it, the whole time that I was there, reminded me a bit of a quote that I have from Dorothy Day. Her memoir is entitled The Long Loneliness, and I feel like that's kind of summed up the recent past for many of us, this long loneliness. And she says, "The only answer in this life to the loneliness we are all bound to feel is community. The living together, working together, sharing together, loving God and loving our brothers and sisters, and living close to them in community so we can show our love for God." MennoCon doesn't last forever. It's a slice of life. But it can be a part of genuine community. And this year, it definitely was for me, and it sounds like it definitely was for the other folks here at Bethel. Thanks for listening.
I don't think there's much that I really need to add. I have summed up convention a number of ways in the last week, but the most common one was it was a normal convention, just smaller. But of course, as you heard, it was much deeper than that. I personally always enjoy the late night gatherings with the youth where we talk about the day and what things stuck out to us and the conversations that come from that. Another piece that was very good for me, because I'm a little bit of a nerd, was that each morning, we didn't have a worship, we had a Bible study with an Old Testament professor from a seminary, and it was awesome. Maybe. For me, it was awesome. I took lots of notes. But overall, just as Michelle mentioned, it just seemed like everything was pulling back to being centered on Jesus. And I think so much of what we do as Mennonites and even as Christians, we focus so much on the what. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live? What are we supposed to say? And we forget about the why. And we move away from the why because we're talking about the what so much. But really, this convention drew everyone back to Jesus as the center. Jesus as the center of life, of peace, of the whole, everything that goes with the word shalom. All of it pulls back to being rooted in a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. And that really was the overall focus of the convention that all of the speakers pulled back to, which I felt was very appropriate and has been on my mind greatly for the last couple of years. Megan Larissa Good, one of the speakers, actually used Jesus as a magnet. So Jesus was a magnet that brought all of these different people together, all these disciples who wouldn't necessarily have hung out, right? He brought all of them together because they were centered on him. And as a church, we can do the same. So the next 2 years, the focus of MCUSA is be transformed, because that's the next step, right? When we are centered and rooted in Christ, we can't help but be transformed. So that is the next step. That is our next focus for the next biennium. I learned that word because Glenn Guyton said it like five times, and I figured out what it meant. So for the next biennium and the focus of our next convention is to be transformed. As I said, we cannot help but be transformed when we are centered in Christ, and may it be so for us. And so now I invite you to enjoy a few pictures and videos that Andrew put together for us so that you can see what we have been talking about.